In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we continue our fall sermon series on the book of Philippians. You are invited to follow along the outline on the last pages of the bulletin. In today's epistle reading, the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians at Philippi about suffering. Stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on account of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Point number one. Faith in Christ means the end of eternal suffering, but not the end of earthly suffering. We all stand guilty of breaking God's divine law. We all deserve to suffer the dreadful sentence of eternal damnation. Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire. But through faith in Jesus Christ, your guilt is wiped away. Because he suffered the penalty for your sins himself, you are declared not guilty in the sight of God. Instead of the punishment of eternal damnation, you receive the gift of eternal life. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. You are made worthy for eternal life, not because of your own works, but because of Jesus' work of salvation on your behalf. You will go to heaven not because of your own merit, but because of his merit, his perfect life, his sacrificial death, his resurrection. As Paul says in Acts, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Faith in Christ means the end of eternal suffering, but not the end of earthly suffering. Paul writes in our text, it has been granted to you on account of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. In this world, Jesus himself did not live a carefree life, but a life with much trouble and sorrow and suffering. Peter says, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So just as Christ himself suffered in this world, the followers of Christ will also suffer in this world. Because of the fall into sin, our world is not what it should be, not at all what God intended it to be. As long as we are in this world, we still endure, first of all, the sufferings common to all people, brought on by the imperfection of our fallen world. Sickness, accidents, disasters, violence, crime, discord, strife, all finally culminating in physical death. And being a Christian actually adds an extra burden to your suffering in this world. The extra burden of persecution and opposition on account of your faith. As Paul tells Timothy, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The book of Revelation says that in heaven there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. But on the way to heaven, we may still pass through much suffering. Paul expresses it this way in Acts, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Faith in Christ means the end of eternal suffering, but not the end of earthly suffering. Point number two, faith in Christ means that your earthly sufferings are not ever a punishment from God. Never forget that for you and all who trust in Christ, earthly sufferings are not ever a punishment from God. Your earthly suffering simply cannot be a punishment from God, because Christ has already suffered every last drop of punishment for you on the cross as your substitute in your place. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. That's what our faith is really all about. The Christian gospel, that good news that your sins are not counted against you, you are reconciled with God. Therefore, he is not angry with you, and your troubles are not ever a punishment from him. The wonderful words of Psalm 32 are talking about you. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. Faith in Christ means that your earthly sufferings are not ever a punishment from God. Point number three, the Lord is your helper and comforter in time of trouble. Paul says later in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. Turn to the Lord in prayer for help and comfort in times of trouble. He promises, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Paul says in Romans, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Turn to God's Word for help and comfort in times of trouble. As Psalm 119 says, you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your Word. Paul says in Colossians, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Turn to worship with your fellow Christians for help and comfort in times of trouble. As Psalm 18 says, in my distress I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. In his temple he heard my voice and listened to my cry for help. Turn to the Lord in prayer, in his word, and in worship for help and comfort in times of trouble. As Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The Lord Almighty is with us. The Lord is your helper and comforter in times of trouble. Finally, point number four, which is the main point of today's reading from Philippians. Sufferings give you an opportunity to live out your faith and witness for Christ. Christianity is not just an abstract philosophy. It is a way of living your everyday life. And it is often suffering that provides the opportunity for you to really put your faith into practice. Paul tells the Philippians that the manner in which they endure persecution will be a powerful testimony. Stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. In the same way, the manner in which you bear the sufferings of this world can be a powerful testimony to your faith in Christ. One thing I've missed the most the past 6 months is not being able to visit shut-ins or hold services at nursing homes, because I need my faith strengthened by them. That might seem backwards, but there have been so many times when I've gone to a shut-in's house or nursing home, a hospital room or funeral home, intending that I would minister to others in their time of suffering. But instead, it turned out that I was the one who was ministered to by their powerful witness of faith and confidence and hope, even in a time of suffering and loss. That does not mean that you should or must take a stoic attitude, not showing your sorrow, hiding your painful emotions. That's not normal. Jesus himself wept with grief at the grave of his friend Lazarus. So tears do not indicate a lack of faith. But along with the tears, through the tears, there is hope and trust in your Lord. And that is a powerful witness. Sufferings give you an opportunity to live out your faith and witness for Christ. In this world, Jesus says, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. When you face the sufferings of this world, take heart. In heaven, there will be no more suffering. Take heart. Your sufferings are not ever a punishment from God. Take heart. The Lord is your ever-present helper and comforter in time of trouble. Take heart. It is an opportunity for you to live out your faith and witness for Christ. For it has been granted to you on account of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Amen.